Like you open your Bible to Romans chapter 5, I want to read verse 1 through 5. Romans 5, 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." Hallelujah. "Patience, experience. Experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." I want to focus here on hope and disappointment. You know, in life, there's a lot of times we're looking forward to certain things. That's what hope is. You're looking forward to something. And things don't work out the way we think. And at that moment, there's an opportunity for disappointment and then discouragement to come. Everyone in this life experiences disappointments. You could have been one time planning a gathering and a picnic, and then it rains all day, and you're a little disappointed. I remember the one year we took our sons to Virginia Beach for vacation. We're planning this vacation, and lo and behold, a hurricane rolls up the East Coast, and it was raining. I mean, raining hard the whole week, right up till like Friday when we were going to come back home, and then we were able to go out in an overcast day. But that's disappointing. There's a lot of disappointments in life. And sometimes we can imagine something how we want something to be, but reality is things are not always going to be like you want them to be or like you would hope them to be. Now, Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." When things are not working as we had thought they would or would desire them to be, disappointment comes. And if we don't throw that off rather quickly, you can get heart sick or discouraged or even depressed. Now, this word came to me Monday, 2 weeks ago. I was just waiting on the Lord, praying, studying the word, like always. And this word came to me, and I thought, now the next day is going to be the election. And I'm thinking, Lord, why this message, you know? Because everybody thinks Trump's going to win. And actually, he gave this to me. Now, last week I preached something similar, but a different word, but this one's for this week. And then the next night, as I stayed up late to watch all the results, I'm sure maybe some of you have did that, and they stopped counting for a while, and then lo and behold, hundreds of thousands of phony ballots just show up, all with one man's name on it, and only one, not even voting for anybody else, which we know is a complete fraud. And you know, there's an effort to steal the election. Now, how that turns out remains to be seen. Yeah, I'm not saying one way or the other. It's possible he could still retain. It's possible he's not able to overturn it. It's all going to go through courts and so forth. But that's not the point. The point is disappointment. And my most recent disappointment was Tuesday, about 12 days ago. That was very disappointing to me. I don't know if it was for you. I mean, if you're voting for the communist, socialist tyrants, maybe it was a happy day for you. But hopefully that's not the case, because why would we want to support such evil? But it was disappointing to me. Now, I've walked through these things enough in life to know what to do. But when that moment comes, if you don't do the right thing, it starts bearing down on you. And devils will try to really beat you down, working off that initial disappointment, because you were expecting something else. And it says here at verse 5, You will not be disappointed by God's hope. Now, did you ever have somebody, maybe a salesperson, they want to sell you something and they say, oh, you won't be disappointed. This is better than advertised. And maybe it was, or maybe it wasn't. But in the natural, everything of this world could let you down. It can fail. It can be less than expected. But God's hope, the hope that he would give, the way it reads in the Old English, maketh not ashamed, but will not disappoint. What you would expect from God as you receive that, it's always better. Better than what you expected. Better than you could have imagined. Every now and then in life, you step into something and say, wow, this car is better than what I'd hoped for. You know, sometimes we have that experience. But with God, we always have that experience. Because that which he would promise, that which he would desire for us moving forward, is always better than anything this world could give us, or better than what we can even imagine. Ephesians 3:20, I preached from there some weeks ago, that God's able to do above what we could ask or think. He's able to do better. So I find it's wise for me to let him just tell me what I should expect rather than me take the position of forming what I want to see in life. You know, there are many who take the position, I'm going to form how I want my life to be and somehow try to con God into blessing that. Or work real hard to obtain it. The things of the natural eventually will always let you down. And you'll even have people say, well, I'll never let you down. But unless you are God, you can let somebody else down or disappoint. And some people, what they'll do is just keep expecting more and more. You might produce and they just expect more the next time. And when you do that relationally, it puts people in an impossible situation. Some people that end up carrying offenses, part of it is they're expecting something that's not reasonable, and they keep raising the bar of expectation until the person feels, I can't satisfy you, I can't make you happy, I quit, I'm not even going to try. Those things happen in this life. Maybe some of you worked for someone like that. The harder you worked, they just raised the bar and they wanted more out of you. Usually, it's only a matter of time till someone gets frustrated with that job because they can never satisfy. They'll just push for more. Well, God's hope will not let you down. Where we run into trouble is when we form our own expectations in this life. And then things may not work out the way that we think. We cannot use faith. This is a wrong application to say, well, everything's going to work for me the way I think, because I have faith for that. That's misplaced faith. You don't have a promise to put your faith on that everything is just going to work the way you want it to work. You can lay hold of the promises of God. But a lot of times we have expectation for things for which there's not a promise from God. There's not a promise from God. We won't have trials and tribulations, some of which are caused by evil political people. There's not a promise from God that everything's going to go smooth sailing for us. So it's somewhat of a dangerous thought that, well, because I understand something about faith, I can will it to be that everything's going to go the way that I think it should go in life. Not reality. Now, when we recognize the enemy is trying to rob, steal, well, then we need to press in and not just accept those things. Let's go back up here to verse 1 now. We're justified by faith, so we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Spirit of God's always trying to draw people to him. And part of that process, he convicts us of our sin and people have no peace. People that are resisting God do not have peace with God. They'll be very tormented. Don't underestimate how much some people maybe you're praying for are tormented because of their guilt and condemnation, because of their defying God and loving their sin. When we have peace with God, so there's peace with God, then there's the peace of God, and then there's peace with man. When you have peace with God, you have something very precious. It's a wonderful blessing to not walk around with guilt. And as soon as you're aware you've sinned and done wrong, because of the high priestly ministry of Jesus, we can receive forgiveness and cleansing and have guilt no more. But we have peace with God through Jesus, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. The grace wherein we stand is we have a relationship with God by faith. We have access to Him. Something that was very much understood during the times in which the scriptures were written is that there were kings, and you didn't go before a king unless you were asked to come. That could get you killed. And they would have the scepter of righteousness. So their scepter, if they pointed at you, you could come talk. But if they didn't, that could get you killed. You didn't have any right just to go before authority unless you were asked or there was some provision made for that. But we have the scepter of righteousness pointed at us. We can come before the Lord at any time. We can come and be cleansed of our sin at any time. We can come and receive and bring our petition for the promises of God and receive that at any time. We have access to God. And we stand before Him rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. Now, this can sound like just flowery words unless we understand that we were created for His pleasure. We were created to give glory to God, to express Him on this earth, to have Him working through us, expressing Himself, and thus glorifying Him. There's hope for you to do that. Colossians 1:27 speaks of us having, because of Christ in us, there's hope for the glory of God. If you try so hard to do the right thing and glorify God, but you're doing in your own ability, you'll end up disappointed with yourself over and over and over again. Until eventually you say, well, what's the use? I can't please God. It's a horrible thing if people manipulate their children by withholding affirmation and praise. That's a horrible thing to do. If a child feels, well, I can never do it good enough to please dad or mom, I quit. And then I'll carry that over towards God. God is pleased, according to Hebrews 11:6, when we come to Him in faith. That blesses Him. That pleases Him. He's also pleased when you obey and you're doing the right thing. But He's just blessed the fact that you believe on Him and come to Him. You know, as a father and a grandfather, it always blessed me. My kids or my grandkids just come. They see you and they just run, Grandpa, 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 and give you a big hug. That blesses you. I mean, that's just a little picture. God is blessed. It blesses Him just that you come to Him. And that blesses Him even more when you obey Him. Well, we have access to God. There's hope for us to glorify Him. And that's why you're on this earth. You know, when people, teenagers, certain ages in there, they really start thinking about, why am I here? What's my purpose on earth? And if they don't find God's purpose, they'll find it something in this world, which will probably be destructive. Well, we can rejoice that because we have access to God through Jesus Christ and that He lives in us, there is hope for us to glorify Him. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience. The word patience here would be better translated perseverance. The word patience can speak to persevering or it can speak to waiting. It's interesting, you know, with the word patience, it actually encompasses those two opposite thoughts. I like to say it this way, the patience of God is. If he says move, you don't stop till he says stop. If he says stop, you don't move till he says move. That's patience. You're able to stop and wait, or when he says move, you let nothing stop you except him. You just persevere right on through. Well, the tribulation, the test and trial in life will work patience or perseverance. It mandates you have to persevere. Yes. And then as you persevere, you'll experience the blessing, in this case of the life of God, but the blessing of whatever it is you're trying to do. We cannot allow quit to be in our thought process. Not a quitter, not a quitter, not a quitter. You fight to the end. You try, you endeavor, you persevere to the end. You know, back when we had our high school and I coached our boys basketball, because we were a very small school, we played large schools and they had a lot more athletes. Most of the time they'd whoop us. We knew that going in. It was always David going up against Goliath. Now, there's a certain aspect you can sort of revel in that. Yeah, if we take down Goliath, and I always gave the promise, I'm buying pizza for everybody if you take down a Goliath. But sometimes it'd be, we're getting beat bad going into the fourth quarter, and their second string's in. I say, listen, never quit. You never quit. Let's set some new goals. Our goal is to outscore them in the fourth quarter. Some of you remember this since you were part of that. Our goal is to outscore them in the fourth quarter. And if we do, I'm buying pizza for everybody. With boys, it doesn't hurt if there's a little extra incentive relative to feeding their belly. But anyway, I wanted them to learn something. You don't quit. You do your best the whole way to the end. And that is a mindset we need to acquire. I will fight to the end. I will do my best to the end, whether anybody cares or appreciates it or anything else. We will persevere. It's a great disservice to let kids just be quitters and not want to try anything. Now, if they've signed up for something, they realize, I don't like this. Well, there can, you know, it can be appropriate to say, well, I'm not going to torture you and you can stop doing this activity. So you want to make sure you understand and hear right what I'm saying. But we do not just bow down and quit because there's pressure. And what can happen if the disappointment's great and we don't deal with it right away in God, finding our hope in him, it's very easy to just, I just give up. And people become defeated as Christians when they do that. But it's such an amazing statement made here. We glory in tribulations, knowing something. That as we go through the test and the trial, the hardship, the challenge, whatever you want to call it, as we go through that, then it's putting us in the place of perseverance and pressing on in the face of that opposition. Now, many times we become stronger spiritually through that. Many times it's pressing on, we'll see a victory, and we get stronger and stronger. As we persevere, we'll experience that which we're aiming towards, which brings more hope. It's one thing to have hope because God said he'd do something, but when you see it done, you've tasted, you've seen, you've experienced it, now you have even more hope. I'll use an illustration here. It will be less effective because my wife's with the kids today, but less effective for my benefit. But she makes great apple dumplings. And she said the other day, I haven't made apple dumplings yet this year. I haven't had time. But she knows she can do it. And I know she can do it. Yeah. So she's experienced the fruit of her labor of doing that because she learned as a girl how to do it. And I like to say, as an encouragement, but I believe it, she makes the best apple dumplings west of the Susquehanna. Now, I don't know about east of it. There's probably some pretty good cooks over there. But that's something she's become very proficient at. And because she never doubts, was this going to turn out? She knows. She's just confident. She knows because we've tasted and seen. Those apple dumplings are good. So the more in life you're experiencing Christ, you're getting a taste of the victory. You know that if you'll endeavor, persevere in this, that you will see the victory. You will see and experience the life of God. Your expectation gets even greater. Thus, what should be, as we're aging and growing older, walking with the Lord, we become stronger in our spirit, and we're stronger in hope, where we're not so easily discouraged or depressed or anything like that. We learn to throw that off. Now, if we limit ourselves to having hope in the flesh, you're going to be a really discouraged person. But when our hope is in God, when we realize, God, I'm on this earth for your glory. You've given promises of all that I would need. You've given me the Holy Spirit who is my helper. I've seen you work. I've seen you come through before. I have expectation. I've seen God come through so many times I could never even begin to count when it comes to, like, we have financial need and God will cause it to, that need to be met one way or the other. So now when such a need pops up again, and I just chuckle inside, God, you're still who you revealed yourself to be. The Lord God who did this back here will do it again. My wife handles our checkbook, paying the bills, so she'll inform me at times, we need X by X time. And I just chuckle, oh, praise the Lord. It's an opportunity for God to be God. I've shared before, and I'll say it again, some of you would have not heard me say this, that in Smith Wigglesworth's book, Ever Increasing Faith, I remember a young believer reading this, something jump off the pages, and it said that a man of faith sees everything as an opportunity. Your challenges are an opportunity for God to be who you know him to be. But it's incumbent upon us to walk in faith, to release faith for him to be who he said he is. So if you have a financial need, God is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He is El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. This need that I have is an opportunity for you, Lord, to once again be who I've seen you to be and know you to be. So I release faith and just laugh in the face of it. When I share this scripture, I like to share an event that happened as well. At that time, we lived down along the river. I'd walk along the river for a couple hours every morning and pray. Jared, our first son, was 3 weeks old. I come back. There was like a 3-week doctor appointment. And as I'm walking across the bridge over a creek, my mother's coming out. She's upset looking. She says, oh, you know, Jared was at the doctor's appointment and they said he has a hernia. Now, when you have kids, maybe after you have about 5 of them, nothing even bothers you. Once you're first, you know, people with a firstborn get a little sensitive to things. They've not walked through. He has a fever. Oh my God, is he going to die? No, he'll be fine. But anyway, getting this news, and I was just walking and praying, I was meditating on this, and reflexively out of my spirit, I begin to laugh. I'm standing on a bridge. My mom's here. She tells me this. I stand there laughing. I mean, laugh out loud laughing. Ha, ha, ha. And she's thinking, that boy's been out in the sun too long. Something wrong with him. Why are you laughing? You just got news that your son has a hernia. Well, man of faith sees everything as an opportunity. This is an opportunity for God to be healer for my son. Christ the healer. That's who he is. And he'll be who he is if I'll stand in faith and release my faith. Go on in, lay hands on him. That's the last we ever heard about a hernia. Glory in tribulations. This is such a challenging statement. We want our life to be easier. That's the flesh. The human mind wants no challenge, everything to go smooth and go easy. But that's not reality. Thank God when you have a day where everything goes good. But some days, nothing goes good. Everything, if something breaks or, you know, your plans get fouled up, we need to rejoice in the Lord in the face of the trial, the test, the tribulation. In the face of the thing that would bring disappointment and make your heart sick, we rejoice because it's opportunity time for God. I need to stand in faith and persevere. Hold fast to my faith. Through faith and patience, inherit promises. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, which is tests or trials, knowing something. You have to know something. That the trying of your faith works patience. That patience have a perfect work. It should be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So if we'll persevere in faith, we can lay hold of that which God has for us. So there's a discipline of the mind that needs to come, and a strengthening of our faith, that as we encounter disappointments, we're not going to let that take us down, depress us, or anything else. But we're going to say, here's an opportunity. Here's an opportunity. God is who he said he would be. And there is a discipline in this line, because you can develop habits of complaining, habits of worry, habits of fear. You know, worry is a mental habit where you just instinctively, oh, no, oh. Habit of being discouraged. And then unto complaining, which is sin. But we want to develop the habit. And it's only as we renew our mind with the word, the habit, that as we encounter anything that would be perceived in the negative sense, that we will speak to it in faith. We will speak the word. We will not back down, but we will persevere believing God for the victory as we're moving on forward in that tribulation. Hallelujah. Knowing something. Knowing tribulation works perseverance. Knowing the trying of your faith works patience, or puts it to work. It mandates the operation of it. If we will persevere, we will see that which God has for us. Too often people, they quit before they get to the finish line. We can't do that. That mindset. There was a video I shared, just comes back to my mind maybe about 2 or so years ago, by a man named, about a man, Derek Redmond. He was an Olympic sprinter. And he was viewed as one of the fastest men in the world. He trained for this race. This was, I think, the 92 Olympics. And the race starts. He begins to run. And for some reason, he fell. He broke his leg. I don't remember, Ray, if he bumped into another runner or their feet got caught up. But he fell. He goes down on the track. And he's laying there writhing in pain. And his father, a man, breaks through the crowd and runs out. It's his earthly father. And he's with him. And this Derek Redmond asked him to help him up. And his dad said, you don't have to do this. He said, yes, I do. And he finishes the race with a broken leg, writhing in pain. He had to finish. And it's such a powerful thing. Every time I watch that video, I cry. Because it shows the love of a father to come and help you get back up. But it also shows the perseverance of the son. He would not quit. He finished the race with a broken leg. He persevered to the end because he had the mindset, I must finish. I must be a finisher. And he finishes. Everybody else is already finished and, you know, way, way, way on ahead of him. But he finished the race. And the whole stadium stands and gives a standing ovation for this young man. We need to be a people that refuse to quit, that refuse to let disappointment beat us down. Things are not always going to go the way you'd like them to go in life. There can be some really rough patches. However, we need to see them as an opportunity for more of God. an opportunity for God to be glorified by turning that situation around or manifesting himself. If you're sick, a healing. If you're you don't have money, the money come in. But many times it's more things of the heart and of spirit. We have to pick up the hope of God. If anyone's had hopes dashed and you're still under the cloud of that disappointment, we need to focus our hope in God. God, what's your hope for me? What is it I can expect from you? Sometimes it can seem like no good thing can come out of something. We all hit that at times. We have to latch on to God. Your hope won't disappoint me. Maybe people have let me down. Maybe a circumstance has not gone the way I would like it to go. But Lord, you never let me down. There is hope for my life glorifying you. I'm going to rejoice in you, Lord.